When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I want to invite the children to come forward for a grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So yes, this day always to me was special as a kid, especially special as a kid. I kind of felt like the whole church was playing make-believe. And I loved make-believe as a kid. I loved dressing up and being able to, well, actually, I didn't dress up much, but I liked to play superhero and all these things. And all of a sudden, there was a day in church where somebody handed me a palm and they said, "We're going to make-believe this scene here in the Bible." I'm all over that. I thought that was the greatest thing. And then I had all these adults doing it with me. It was just awesome. I loved that sense. And I think what it is, what I really love about that make-believe, and this is true of make-believe for children in general, make-believe allows you to experience feelings. Feelings that you haven't experienced otherwise, or that you want to deeper experience. It's some of the child play psychology things that go on today, is that make-believe gives you that opportunity to be in a safer environment to experience deep feelings. So I was thinking about that, because for this Sunday, the story itself seems relatively short. I think the key to the story is understanding the feelings in the story. I think if we can find a way to do that, that helps us to better understand what this Palm Sunday is and how we enter into Holy Week. So I want to take you back to Michael, Pastor Michael, age, see, I would be 10 or 11 years old. I guess I'd be 11 years old. The summer of 1985. The summer a hero let me down. Do you remember when a hero let you down? I can picture this. I was wearing my little yellow shorts that were like this short that had the white stripe around. I remember I don't even have a picture of this, but I remember it, and I can see what happened that day. I remember my parents saying, "The Cubs at the Astrodome, they come out of this door, and that's their bus that they're going to get into. And if you stand here, maybe you can get some autographs." And I remember being very excited, because I was waiting for my idol. My idol, Ryan Sandberg. The year before, he was the MVP of the National League. For the next 15 years, he would be a constant for the Chicago Cubs, a future Hall of Famer. And I had my ball ready for his autograph. And my heart fluttered, because guess who the first person out the door was? It was Ryan Sandberg. He stepped out the door. There he was. It was the triumphal entry put right in front of me. Ryan Sandberg, right there. The best fielding second baseman in the game was here, and not only that, I had an opportunity. I was going to get his autograph, and then of all things, Ryan Sandberg spoke to me. He spoke to me. I remember it like it was yesterday. He said to me, "You're going to keep moving, right?" And as the circle of autograph seekers gathered around, I understood what he was asking of me. You see, good old Rhino needed my help. Keep the crowd moving so he could get to the bus. So I shuffled backwards, making sure that my idol had room, all the while holding my ball out and my pen out, ready for a memory of this moment. And it was so exciting at that moment. But only thing is, As we got to the bus, he never looked at me again. I was right in front of him the entire time. He signed a bunch of autographs. Never said thank you. Never gave me his autograph. Got on the bus and he was gone. Okay, my story's not quite the same as what we experienced, what they experienced on Palm Sunday long ago. But I wonder if the feeling might be somewhat similar. I wonder if the feeling in their gut before and after. See, I never shouted, "Crucify him." But when the crowds cried out, "Hosanna," I wonder if they felt somewhat like me when my hero opened that door. He had arrived, and they knew what he was going to do. They knew, and they felt liberated. They cast out their branches and their cloaks, but then he didn't do anything that they expected after that. He didn't march to take his throne. He didn't fix the world as they saw it. Their hero, he let them down. Understanding this day, I think, is not always easy, but I think you understand that feeling. I think right now many of you can feel it in your gut right this moment, that feeling of great excitement followed by great disappointment. And that, perhaps, is the best way to understand the reaction of the crowd and even the mob mentality that occurred for the rest of this week that we have ahead. See, I don't want you to just understand the story. It's so easy, especially for we who are adulting it now, to just understand it. I want you to enter into it. I want you to experience that God is here moment that they did. And I want you to feel the hope and excitement, but then also that pain in your heart, the pain of living in this world, the pain of living in this world where gases and missiles still seem to overwhelm our good news stories. And as I turn to the news this morning, I hear there was a bombing in Egypt on a Palm Sunday morning service. I want you to own the disappointment of wondering, why, God? Why is there so much of this pain in the world? And while you own that pain, I want you to feel a little bit of the pangs of guilt too. Not shame for what you could not do, but guilt for what you could do and have not. For if we do not process also our own responsibility that Christ has called us to, responsibility to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give drink to the thirsty, to visit the sick and the imprisoned. If we don't own that feeling of knowing that when the crowd shouts, "Crucify him," we're shouting, "Crucify him." And we know that it's either Jesus or us that are going to stand trial. And we can't fully understand the wealth of emotions that bring this chorus of voices that we enter into. But we have that feeling. You see, I think when we keep this in our head, we can sit in church and hear the story read to us, and we can almost feel sorry for those people, who were there. They didn't understand. That's what we say. But do we understand? Do we see how we have come to with expectations for God that have not been met? Do we understand how we can make our relationship with Christ one like a fan, but not one that is a part of the story itself? I want to invite you to the rest of this Holy Week. This is meant to be an entry into not only Jerusalem, but an entry into the promise that we have of Christ Jesus. But if we don't evoke in ourselves the feelings of pain, of fear, with that little ping, that little moment of joy before too, then we don't totally get it. So as we venture down this path, I remind you that Jesus enters fully into the confusion and chaos of your days, as he did Jerusalem long ago. And in doing so, he continues to threaten your reliance on anything. Our wealth, our position, our political identity, our good works, our relationships. God threatens anything that we put before God's mercy. No matter what we trust in, we see in this week we will be disappointed. We see that all of those things that we so often trust in are like these dried palms. But even with all these feelings, with the realization that we stand broken before God, God looks at our brokenness and says, no, declares you as blessed, you as beloved. Jesus' journey to the cross shows us just how willing, how far Jesus is willing to go to demonstrate this unconditional love that God has for the world. This is but the beginning of the journey. Amen. Let's join together in our sacred space and all the ways we can respond to God's word.